Okay, are you ready? I think I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna get the hat.
Oh,
I am gonna get the hat.
Ready?
Okay.
Oh, you won it.
Oh.
That's it.
That's always.
Can I, yes, I want to beat you this time.
Here,
oh,
here.
Okay,
okay, okay, ready?
Your
ready?
Time comes. Come on.
My God.
Okay. No cracker for me.
Oh, poor Derek.
I'm like little Tim.
God bless us, everyone.
Right. Now, I'm very good at pulling crackers,
Sinead. I'm the best, Derek.
Oh. No pop, just like the last time. Anyway, for heaven's sake, what are you all doing in here? Sheila and Sinead and John and Anna Lady. You're not supposed to be choosing this program while myself and Eric and Richard presented. Yes, no?
No, it's party time.
Cheers!
Yes, it's our Christmas special programme. Tonight, we'll be roasting chestnuts on an open fire, dreaming of a white Christmas, and if we're lucky, a jingle bell rocking the night away with our nearest and dearest. In our last programme before Christmas, we normally bring you some festive good cheer along with some timely ideas for gifts inspired by wildlife and the natural world. And this year is no different.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by the choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos.
I'm joined in studio by zoologist and ornithologist Dr. Richard Collins. Hello, Richard. Happy Christmas to you.
Happy Christmas to you too, Derek.
And from Birds Ireland, we've got Eric Dempsey.
Hello and happy Christmas to you.
And throughout the show, we'll be bringing you some thoughts and ideas. Let's call them Christmas crackers from a number of our regular contributors here on Mooney Goes Wild.
Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas. You.
That music really would put you in the Christmas spirit, would it not, Eric Dempsey?
It would indeed, Derek. Hard to believe Christmas is here yet again.
Yeah, well, I can see the mince pie falling out of your mouth. Anyway, Richard, what have you got planned over the Christmas period outside of actually celebrating with your family? What do you do wildlifey that costs nothing?
Wildlifey things. Well, it's a great time. It's this time of the survivors are still there. In the old days, that was the case. You know, winter was the great thinning out time. You see, and things if they got through the salt and the winter. Winter solstice, things were looking up. They might make it into the next breeding season. So it's a very interesting time to look at wetland areas because they're full of geese, ducks, swans, waders, long-legged marsh birds. It's a great time for that. And there's a lovely atmosphere about it, that cool, weepy kind of wet, windy kind of thing. It's a wonderful, it's a very Irish experience.
So will you take the grandchildren down to a wetland to see the waders then in that case? Will you take them to the Bull Island or the estuary in Malahide?
Yes, I take them regularly. I have to do so selectively because we don't want to turn them off. You know, and there are nine of them, you see, and some of them are very keen. Others are sort of, oh my God, it's that mad grandfather of ours again stuff, you know. But I take the ones that are keen and in selective and target various things and bring them, take the telescope and show them things. And there's serendipity. One day I was on the Bull, as Eric had
right.
Some clients from America.
That's right.
And he was on the Bull, and I had one of my children, Finn, and Finn and I were walking down. There was Eric, and I went over. Eric had a peregrine set up in the telescope.
In the telescope, yeah. That's right. Remember that.
And the little fella still talks about the peregrine and boasts that he has seen a peregrine.
You see, this is the whole point, is that you know, I've come to the conclusion that nature is an experience. It's not just an interest. It's not just something. And I think so many of us experience nature now through plasma TVs and documentaries and DVDs and whatever. But nature is about getting wet. It's about getting cold. It's about getting muddy. It's about feeling the wind in your hair. It's an experience. So many kids have lost the sort of feel of the natural world. Do you know what? The chances are we'll get a box set of Blue Planet 2 or something, you know, at Christmas, and we'll all sit on the couch looking at our plasma TVs, watching, you know.
But
this.
That's okay too.
No, it is, but what I'm saying is.
Some people will be watching Coronation Street or Mrs. Brown's Boys
but you know
or
what?
Emmerdale or whatever.
You know what we need to do is we need to actually just maybe even go into the back garden and experience nature itself. Experience it, not just see it and witness it like on TV. You actually need to. It's something, it's an emotional thing. You feel it.
Well, we're here to talk about presents, and you've got a book with you, Eric. So what's your book?
The Great Big Book of Irish Wildlife Through the Seasons.
And oh, I like the sound of that. It's probably lots of pictures and
Juanita
pop-ups.
Brown, and it's aimed at younger people.
Yeah.
And it's bringing the Irish seasons to life, explaining everything what's happening during each season, full of information, full of facts. And I remember when I was a kid, you know, I loved getting an encyclopedia or a big book like this where you could look at it and go, oh, wow, that's amazing. Oh, and you turn the page, you go, wow, that's amazing. This book is just superb. I could not recommend it highly enough. If you have any young person interested in nature, there's photographs, there's illustrations, there's fun facts, things to do, how to feed birds. What
I just see as you're flicking the pages there, a lovely picture of a curlew there.
Yeah, it
with
is.
With a downturned beak.
Downturned beak, and it explains, like, for example, looking at shorebirds, how each one feeds and why one has a different length beak. And it talks about bats, it talks about badgers. Do you know something? It is an absolute treasure.
And what age group would you
say?
Well,
I would sort of say from about the six-year-old type that you're talking about up to 12.
Where they start to notice the individuals.
Yeah,
and if you think of it, if you had a six-year-old, a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old, and you say to them, the reason that the wading birds that you find around the estuaries have different length beaks is that they're feeding at different zones.
Exactly.
And they'll never forget
that's
that.
That's the
whole point. Some go down this depth, some go down further, some have curved ones because they can kind of come back in the
middle. It's €20, and I have to say it is... You know, you can't go wrong with a book.
Well, that's great value. So that it one is called The
it's
Great...
It's a great big book of Irish Wildlife Through the Seasons by Juanita Brown and illustrated with wonderful, wonderful illustrations by Barry Reynolds.
Thank you very much indeed, Eric. Let's start with our first Christmas cracker, and this one is Lucy Hunt.
My name's Lucy Hunt. I'm a marine biologist and director of Sea Synergy Marine Awareness and Activity Centre in Waterville, County Kerry, where we work with schools and marine education, and we do lots of activities in the summer times with families and kids, getting them out onto the coastline and exploring what our Wild Atlantic Way has to offer. The Christmas gift that I'd like to suggest is a gift voucher for an adventure to discover what lies beneath the Wild Atlantic Way, or an eco tour on beautiful Loch Ron, kayaking or stand-up paddleboarding. Kayaking and stand-up paddleboarding is a great way to get outdoors, on the water, get some exercise and see our amazing coastline. And it's accessible to couples, families and kids, and really a nice way to explore Ireland's beautiful nature. One of my best memories is seeing Loch Ron over Christmas time when the snow has fallen, mirror cam reflecting the snow-capped mountains surrounding it. It's really peaceful and beautiful to experience. Favorite Christmas song would be Driving Home for Christmas. Always makes me smile and get in the Christmas mood.
I'm driving home for Christmas. Oh, I can't wait to see those faces. I'm driving home for Christmas, yeah. Well, I'm moving down that line. And it's been so long, but I will be there. I sing this song to pass the time away. Driving in my car, driving home for Christmas.
Ah, Chris Rea. I love Chris Rea. Richard, let's have your first gift, if you would, please.
Oh, my gift. Yes. Well, let's see what I thought would be interesting. If you do go out into the wild the way Eric is recommending, you can get lost. At least I can get lost anyway. But there is a little map compass thing that I saw. It's called a high-vis map compass for €14 in the great outdoors. It has a little magnifying glass and scales and a compass incorporated. So it's very simple to work out where to go, what direction to go in using this tool. At least it looks like that in the shop. Now, if you happen to be hard-pressed for cash, there is a tiny compass. It's about less than 2 centimetres across, and it costs €2.30. But that is for the really mean Christmas present, you know.
There's no such thing as a mean Christmas present. Take that back.
Oh, I take it back, Derek. Absolutely.
Somebody
take it
gives
back.
You a gift. One of the best gifts I ever gave my nephew's kids was an empty box.
Yep.
Wrapped and wrapped and wrapped. They had to go through about 10 layers of recycled wrapping paper, by the way, and then into this recycled cardboard box, and laughed out loud when they got there.
I wonder what they'd say if they were here.
Well, they did. I'm just telling you what happened. No, you don't have to spend money on a gift, but you're recommending this compass.
Well, yes, it's the sort of thing that's interesting. You know, you can get all kinds of hypothermic blankets and things. There's one for $350 in case you do mess up and you can't get down off the hill or the mountain or something. You can wrap up in this for $350. Now, just what temperature you would survive overnight in a €3.50 blankety thing, I don't know. I wouldn't like to speculate.
Wouldn't like to put that to the test.
No. I wouldn't. No. And I'm not prepared now to put that to the test. No, I wouldn't. These are my main sort of thoughts. Outdoor, encouraging the outdoor. That's the important thing. There was a book in America some years ago called Last Child in the Woods. It was very influential because it argued that people are cosseting their children too much. They're at home watching television and looking at videos and all the rest. Whereas if they were out, and okay, there are risks being out. You can fall off the trees and cut your knee and damage your ankles and get stung by nettles or poison ivy, what over there. But the argument is that is part of the experience of growing up. You have to do this and you have to take risks. Life is all a great big risk. So we should let our children out. And the sort of philosophy in parks and places, don't leave the paths kind of thing, you know, don't pluck this, don't do that, that this is damaging the growth of children. This is what this book
What's
argued.
The name of that book? That book sounds more interesting than the other presents, I have to tell you. What's that book called?
That book is called Last Child in the Woods. It was an extremely, it's a good few years out now, but it was very influential in
Who should be reading that, the adults or the children?
The adults, of course, and the teachers, you know, but everyone's now terribly worried about litigation and some slips, and there's a thing in the paper about somebody got $2 million for sipping on a banana skill or something, you know, this kind of stuff.
We'll make sure we have the details. Yes. By the way, all the details of all the gifts suggested by Richard and Eric and the rest of our contributors today, our Christmas crackers, let's call them, will be on the website, rte.ie/Mooney. Speaking of teachers, there's nothing like, as we know, a good book, and we'll feature quite a few more in the programme today. But what about an educational book and an educational book for teachers at that? Well, Paul O'Donnell is a primary school principal in St Patrick's National School in Slane in County Meath, and he's written a unique textbook aimed primarily at teachers to help them pass on the skills that our parents and grandparents had and which are in danger of being lost, which is what Richard is talking about there. Entitled Wild Teaching, it includes lesson plans for every month of the school calendar and is stuffed with hints and ideas and superb colour photographs. Terry Flanagan paid a visit to St Patrick's, where he caught up with Paul and the 6th class students.
Steve. Ramashe, you know? Okay. What's I'm doing, Tara? Going to start to? Paul?
Come on, come on, get.
So she's done a Q&A.
It's Ram and Q&A show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, tell us what we're going to do today.
Well, today we're going outside and we have a number of lessons that the children are going to, some activities they're going to take part in.
Right.
Lessons outdoor to do with living things.
And these lessons are out of a particular book?
They are. They're out of a book called Wild Teaching, Cross-Curricular Lessons Outdoors for Agoraphobic Teachers.
And this book has been written by yourself?
Yeah, it has, yeah. So, and in conjunction with Meath County Council and part funded by the Heritage Council.
Great, okay. Well, let's have a look at what they're doing here at the moment anyway.
Okay, so the four activities we've just been speaking about, one of the tasks here is the children are going to plant some trees, which is very topical at this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And on the second task up here, we have a nest building challenge. So again, it's a springtime lesson, and they're going to make some nests and we're going to test them to see how well they'll secure an egg inside them. Third of all, we are going to plant some peas, and the children there have all the equipment, and again, that would be a springtime lesson. And their final one is to make some wildflower seed bombs, which would be an activity for June.
Excellent.
So we're going to get a bit of muck on our hands, I think.
Excellent.
Which is an important.
I'm just looking at this one here because you're going to plant chestnuts. Conkers.
Yes. Yeah.
Look what I have in my pocket.
Aha. So you brought some with you.
Yeah, I always carry a chestnut in my pocket.
And what's the reason for that?
Oh, just it gives me good luck.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, yours seems to be very...
Shiny.
Very
shiny. Very
shiny
because it's been polished in my hand for so long.
Ah. Whereas ours are rougher.
Yes. Well, they're probably better.
Yeah, well, there's only one way to find out. There's an experiment in that, I suppose.
Okay. Well, come on. Let's do it. Are we going outside then?
Yeah. It's time to go. Okay. So our four activities are nest builders in twos or threes. You can start to construct your nests. Wildflower seed bombs. You can start making your seed bombs now. And trees, away you go planting. And also our peas, away you go.
Now, Paul, you've got them all started.
Yeah, it's actually great for me to be back here because I'm the principal of the school, but I'm seconded to my management body, CPSMA. So I've taught this class last year throughout the year, and now they were back doing some activities today again.
Now, the activities, as we said, are from this particular book, this book that you've written. Talk to me about the book.
When I was a child, the outdoors was the biggest room in our house, in that we were away over the fields all of the time. In school, all my best memories are from being outside, in having novels read outside, break times, field trips. So I just think now, and the studies would back this up, the children are spending more and more time indoors, and also with curriculum overload, the teachers are spending more and more time indoors as well. So it's just a simple resource to encourage teachers to bring children outside because of the benefits that are there in for teaching and learning by being outside.
So, okay, tell us a little bit about the book, because it's a lovely, loads of colour photos in it, softback book, not very, very big, very easy to read.
Well, that was the idea, and I suppose this is really for teachers who don't have a lot of knowledge of, and it's cross-curricular, so lots of different subjects can be taught in this way. And so I spoke to young teachers who didn't have much experience, and every lesson is on a single page. There are simple notes so anybody could teach the lessons, some video links to back them up, and some introductory information as well.
And what I liked was that you have a lesson or more than one lesson for every week in the year, in the school year.
Well, that's the intention, because I think one of the most important things for children is that they get that connection to the outdoors, and there's a section on nature walks, so the children see the seasons developing and changing, mm-hmm. and that the lessons are linked to things in the outdoors that occur around that time.
How long did it take you to write this?
About 5 years, give or take. But I had been using the notes for courses that I delivered, and then Loretto Guinan from Meath County Council spoke to me and asked if we would put a book together. So I'm indebted to her for coordinating it as well.
And I suppose, like me as a teacher, you're constantly changing and constantly upgrading. So in the next edition, I must change that or use this particular example.
Well, there are lots of lessons, I suppose, that were excluded.
Yeah.
We tried to make them as simple as possible, so they didn't need a lot of resources. You can actually teach from this book with just an outside space. That's all you need. You don't need to have a school garden. You don't need to have a lot of equipment or resources. We would encourage teachers to put the resources on the board, the children bring them in, and then later in the week the teacher teaches the lessons.
Right.
And one other aspect of it, that feedback from teachers, was planning is a big issue in school. Planning notes. So all of the notes for the lessons can be copied and pasted from Meath County Council's website and just inserted into teachers' fortnightly plans.
And how important would this book be to say, state primary teachers throughout the country?
Well, an INTO survey on science in 2005 said that only one third of teachers were using the outdoor environment. And the hope is that it will encourage more teachers to bring teaching and learning outdoors. And the feedback seems to be very positive. And it's actually getting close to running out of print, which is great. And the intention was, I mean, Mike provided the text free of charge, but the what I asked Meath County Council is that they would give a free book to every primary teacher in County Meath, which they have done.
Great.
So at least we know everyone in the county has one, and the hope is, well, we seem to be starting to get requests from other counties now as well.
Great. Well, come on, let's have a look at some of the kids.
Okay.
Here. I see here we're building a nest, is that right?
Yeah, so this is a great spring activity, and it's really simple. I just raked some moss off my garden and just some pieces of dead grass. They're going to construct the nest, and then we're going to test it by using a golf ball to see how good their nest is. So we're talking construction here. They're using their hands, and also it's a science test as such as well.
Who have I got here?
Neve
and
Sophie.
And what are you doing? Tell me exactly what you're doing.
We're kind of just curving the dead grass and the moss to try and make a comfy, sturdy sort of a nest.
Like a cup, is it?
Yeah, sort of like a cup, yeah.
And what are you going to do after that then?
We're going to put a golf ball in the middle, and Mr. O'Donnell's going to do a test,
is it?
With it, yeah.
Now we've moved over here to planting the conkers. Oh yeah. What's your name?
Lily.
Lily, and what are you doing?
Planting. I cut open a milk carton and I filled it, the bottom, with stones, and then I put soil in it to help drain.
Very good, to help the drainage. And you've got the soil in it. Now, what comes next?
The conker.
Sure, there, I see the conker in there. Take the conker. Put it in. Very good. And what do you do next?
I cover it over with soil.
Off you go. And what do you do then?
I cut holes in the bottom.
For?
drainage.
Very good. And where will you leave that now? Will you bring that into the house or will you leave it outside?
Outside.
Now, lads, you guys have the dirtiest hands of all. What are you doing?
Making seed bombs.
Seed bombs. Okay. Well, what's a seed bomb?
So you put seeds in the mud and you leave them in to settle, and then you throw them and they grow in the grass.
And what kind of seeds are you putting in?
Wildflower seeds.
Wildflower seeds. And the mud here, that hardens, does it?
Yeah.
And then you go out and you throw them around the place. Where were you going to throw them then?
Over the hedge.
Over the hedge, yeah? Or in a ditch or something?
Yeah.
And what's going to grow from them?
Wildflowers.
Okay, can we name any of these wildflowers?
We can't tell from the seeds. They're native Irish wildflower seeds.
And they must know some of them, do you? Daisies and...
There's oxeye daisies.
Very good,
well.
Oxeye daisy.
Yeah, you're right.
And what's the one, the red ones that you see?
Roses.
Oh, no, poppies. Do you like this, lads?
Yes.
This is the best one, is it?
Yeah.
This is better than planting conkers, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm making an owl nest for a bird, what?
It's probably the most popular lesson that I've ever taught with kids, yeah. They really enjoy it. And I do think teachers do want to use the outdoors a bit more. I do think kids want to be out in the natural environment, and that also that they get that chance to connect with nature. I would definitely recommend it for Christmas, yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed, Terry, and all of the staff and the pupils at St. Patrick's School there, sixth class students. Now, where are we going next?
I'm Niall Hatch. I'm the Development Officer with Birdwatch Ireland, and Christmas is a very important time to me. It's a time of year that I really enjoy, not just because it's a great time of year for birdwatching and I get time off to go out and see the birds, but there is just something special about the season. I think it's quite magical. I know on the show over the course of the last year, a real hot topic has been problems with plastic waste, and particularly marine pollution. And I remember researching for an item on the show, I was appalled to find out when it comes to plastic water bottles, the disposable kind, there are 20,000 produced every second. So that's 1.2 million a minute. It's half a trillion a year. So I think a great gift for somebody, which would also help us to reduce the amounts of plastic out in the sea, would be a good reusable water bottle. A good hard-wearing one with a water filter built in. The one I use myself is from the company called Bobble. They cost about €15. They have a filter in, so they're taking the chlorine and everything out of the tap water. And so it's a gift that keeps on giving. The person will use it year-round, and you're helping to reduce this mountain of plastic and doing your bit for the environment. Another present that I was given myself a couple of years ago and I really like, it's an app. It's for both iPhone and for Android, and it's called the Collins Bird Guide. The Bird Guide itself is probably the best field guide to birds in the world. It deals with the birds of Europe, North Africa and the Middle East. But the great thing about the app is that, first of all, you can filter it by country. So you can have it just to show the species that are present here in Ireland. So you're not overwhelmed with all of these different birds that you see at the same time that you never see in Ireland. And the other thing is, too, that a big advantage over a printed book is that it has the bird songs and calls in it as well. And from the dawn chorus, you know, that people often ask me, how do you know all these bird songs? It's from practicing. It's from listening to them on apps and getting out to enjoy them. And it adds a whole new dimension to nature. And it costs, I think it's about $16.99 on the app stores. Christmas has always been a very exciting time for me. And the funny thing is, I love the smell of the turkey cooking in the oven. It just reminds me, because I don't even like turkey. It's my least favourite meat. But there's something very special about it. It transports me back to my childhood and the happy times we had around Christmas. Although I like Christmas, I don't really like Christmas music very much. But my favourite Christmas song would have to be, probably a standard choice now, Fairy Tale of New York, for the reason that it was my late father's favourite Christmas song. So that brings back lots of memories. He never felt Christmas was there until he'd heard it. And so whenever I hear that now, I think of him.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank, an old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18-1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love you, baby. can see a better time when all our dreams come true. You promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome.
You were pretty queen of New York City.
When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the jokes they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing, "Go away, babe." And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
Thank you, Noel. I think that's a favourite song of most people here, probably most people around the world. I don't know what it is about that song, but it just kind of gets you in the mood.
Something special about it.
It's kind of the anti-Christmas song, probably. That's what it is. Anyway, Richard, you have another book for us.
I have indeed, yes. I think about wildlife books, however worthy and well-written they may be. They often, when you're reading them, you're getting fact after fact after fact after fact after fact. And it's like sitting down to a meal. Okay, you can have one course, two courses, and the extreme ones can have three and four courses, but you can't have chapter after chapter of courses, you see. So we need a book that catches you and provokes you to think and wanders from the area of wildlife a little bit, I think. And it's hard to find those books. David Lack's The Life of the Robin is one such, and things like that. They're great classics. But now, this man, Peter Wohleben, or Wohleben in German, he managed a forest for decades in the Eifel Mountains in Germany. And he has an extraordinary experience of trees, particularly beech and oak. And he's written this book called The Hidden Life of Trees. He wrote it in German. And there's an English translation now. When you hear it's an English translation, well, this will be turgid, you know. But actually, it's beautifully translated. It's beautifully written. Nice, short, crisp, clear sentences, no 24-letter words when four-letter ones will do. It's excellent, a very readable book, but it's so provoking.
Well, what does he tell us about the life of trees?
Well,
no, what does it cost? What does he tell us about the life of trees?
What does he tell us about that? Well, I don't know whether what he's saying is true or not, which is what I like about it. It stimulates all kinds of strange thoughts. He argues that trees are not just neutral kind of passive entities stuck in the ground and growing up and spreading their seeds and dying. He actually says they behave rather like elephants. The trees help each other out in adversity. The way the elephant, a troop will gather around and help the baby out of the mud when it gets stuck and things like that. I don't know if this is true, but he claims that trees are broadcasters. We're broadcasting. That they send chemical signals out and that other trees pick up these chemical signals and that they act as a community. And now, this is done by things like fibers of fungi in the ground. It is done by smell, strangely. And he even says they can hear in some mysterious way. Now, the clicky things in the roots of trees can be picked up by other trees. Now, the trees function, he says, as an integrated community. He talks about things like maternal care, whereby a mother tree, in a strange way, contrives to support her offspring. I mean, this is extraordinary stuff. He says that they hear at 220 hertz. 220 is quite a low frequency, but that they can hear and that they give information to each other, and there's symbiotic relationships. All sorts of asides. The tree you plant is isolated from other trees, and this kind of community doesn't develop with planted trees. He says you need the forest with the canopy, and they're all working together in the forest. It's a beautiful, beautifully written.
Sounds like a good read. What's it called again?
It's called The Hidden Life of Trees. If you want to give it as a present to somebody, there's a beautiful hardback version for around €29. It's a beautiful book, a lovely present to get, and you could even push the person into actually reading it, because it's very unusual. I think there's very few recorded instances of people actually reading books they got for Christmas. Mostly they kind of dabble at them and then they're dumped, because the book that somebody else buys for you is never the one you would read yourself.
All right, details are on the website.
But there's
of that
a
book.
Cheap version version, Derek, that the cheap version is the one I have, which is only, let me see the back of it, and it says €13.
Well, the details are on the website, rte.ie/money. Now, they say the best things in life are free. We discussed this at the beginning of the programme. Indeed, giving your kids a great Christmas present can cost absolutely nothing, as I discovered when I gave them a box of nothing all those years ago. Well, I told them it was full of love. That's when they laughed. And can foster a lifelong interest and passion for the natural world. Journalist Suzanne Campbell and her daughters Anna and Robin believe that where gifts are concerned, you can't beat a walk on the wild side into nature.
So we're at the edge of a big open field, a big old hedgerow on our left with quite tall trees, all different types.
Lots of broken branches from storms, probably.
Birch, yeah. Oak, old oak, very old.
How do you know it's oak?
Well, you can see it's unique leaves and also has loads of ivy growing around it. And most oak actually do have lots of ivy around.
Yeah, around here used to be a huge oak forest and there's not a lot left. Brambles, of course. Yeah. Plenty of them. The blackberries are gone, are they? Yeah. It's so late.
Too. Lots of white thorn in there. Some ferns too.
Okay, we keep going. It's very quiet now at around 4 o'clock, isn't it? Because it's winter. What kind of birds sometimes do we see around here?
Well, sometimes buzzards, peregrines, crows, blackbirds.
Oh, there's a squirrel. Look, 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 look.
Oh, yeah.
Do you see him?
Yeah.
You can see his big thick tail.
Yeah.
The big grey tail. He's gone round the back, probably an oak tree with a lot of ivy on it. Are they the best ones to see around here?
No, they're not actually, because the grey is native to America. Some brought them over somehow. And the reds are native to Ireland. So it would be better if you saw more reds than greys.
And we do sometimes see reds around here, don't we?
Quite a bit.
Do you want to cross this fence and go down here?
Okay, we should.
Are you going to be able to?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay. Come on, Robin.
Slowberry.
Slowberry, yes, you're right.
Only one of them on the whole tree.
Let me look at the tree. There's actually very few sloes left here, and that's not surprising because it's mid-December.
It's very like a blueberry, actually.
Did you ever try and eat it? Go on. Taste it.
Sour.
Show me.
Yeah, weird.
Oh, wow, it's really sour, isn't it?
It's really numbing your mouth.
It is, isn't it?
I know, it's
really weird.
Are there more?
Finger bobs over there.
Oh yeah, there's some left.
The very top. They look like grapes or blueberries.
They are like grapes or blueberries. Okay, we move on.
Not taste much.
What's your favourite thing, Robin, about nature walks? Even if you don't find crazy unusual stuff.
Yeah, I like nature walks because it's just nature, and I know the way that some people like to visit other people's homes, but this is basically visiting someone's home. Oh. And it's visiting someone's home, a wildlife home.
That's a good point. I never thought of that. Yeah. And it's kind of seeing maybe how other creatures live.
Yeah, and how it's so different to our life.
And even the little things like the ivy and the snails. And because you're quite a snail collector, aren't you?
Yeah.
How many snails have you had over the years?
One, two, three. I actually forgot.
Hundreds, probably, living under your bed, the poor items, in a little box, until they're released again. Have we found any holly, Anna?
Well, we just found a little bit down there, but we think that was male holly. So we're going to look for some more, the female with the berries.
What's your favourite thing about just going on a walk?
Well, the fresh air. And also you get to stretch out your legs, see the nature. It's really nice. I just enjoy it.
Oh, yes.
Hey, well done. Gorgeous red berries. Look.
There we are.
Okay, that's some Christmas berries for the house. Well spotted, Anna.
Yeah.
We've always gone on little nature walks, haven't we, since you were little?
With picnics all the time, because Robin insists.
Yeah, Robin is the queen of picnics.
Yeah. I do enjoy to get to eat while you're walking or something.
Yeah, that's a key thing. Okay, let's go home and have some nice little mince pies by the fire.
Yeah. Maybe some hot chocolate.
Yeah, that sounds good.
They say it's better to give than receive, but if we're honest, it is lovely to receive a gift on Christmas morning, particularly from someone who has put a bit of thought into it. And of course, Christmas is primarily for the children and for the magic and wonder it brings into their lives once a year. So we've dispatched our own Sinead Renshaw to take a look at what's on offer in terms of gifts for children from the wild and natural world. So what did you come up with, Sinead?
Well, I have lots and lots of books and I'll have details of all of those on the website because we have mentioned books. But this is a game called Explore the Forest and it's a three-part activity. The first part is a jigsaw. It's a 70-piece jigsaw. It says age recommendation 4 to 8. A 70-piece jigsaw would be quite basic for that age group, but as you can see, it's incredibly complicated or incredibly
detailed. I don't know if I'd be able to do that, yeah.
It's a very, very detailed jigsaw of life in the rainforest. So we have toucans, we have capybaras, we have explorers, we have monkeys, we have all sorts of things. So you put together this jigsaw. Once it's completed, you then take the marker and you have to identify and classify the various animals that you can see in the completed picture. So it's kind of like a Where's Wally kind of thing, only to the power of 24. There's various different species that you have to find and identify, and you mark off how many of each of these you can see in the completed jigsaw. And then the final part of it is you have what they call a magic torch, and you shine this on the jigsaw and you can see all sorts of extra details that apparently in the rainforest you wouldn't be able to see with the naked eye. So it's lots and lots of fun. If the weather isn't great over Christmas and you want something that you can do with the children that they can have fun with, it's a brilliant, brilliant suggestion.
How much?
And that's $14.99.
And where do you get that from?
This one I picked up in Eason.
Okay.
Another one they have that I spotted, and again, it's for children who like to combine scientific learning with artistic creation, is a casting set of butterflies. So what you do, you open the packet up, there are four different moulds of a monarch, painted lady, red admiral and swallowtail butterfly. You have a moulding mix that you put together, you add the powder, the water, you mix it all together, you pour it into these moulds, and whilst it's setting, you can be looking through the little booklet that's in there and learning all about these different types of butterflies. Once the mould is set, then you pop out the thing, you use the paints that are included to paint up the butterflies, so you learn that, you know, they come in the various depths of colours and these are the markings and so on and so forth. And then once they've dried, you get a little magnet also in the thing and glue it on the back and it becomes little magnets that you can stick on your fridge. And when people come to visit, you can say, did you know that there is a Red Admiral butterfly? And did you know X, Y and Z fact about it? So it's a lovely combination of the artistic, creative side of things. It's messy, it's fun and it's a whole lot of learning as well. If the weather is nice and you do want to get out and about with the children, there's a group called Owls. They're a children's nature activity and they have various activities you can do over the Christmas period. We'll have all the details on the website, but there's just one that I want to mention. It's this Friday, the 21st of December. It's in Talla and again later again in the day in Santry, and it says, come along for a festive adventure. You learn about woodland animals, how they store their food, how the birds build the nest and escape to warmer climates, and you finish off the whole activity with a feast of chocolate log cakes, mince pies and juice for £3. It's a beautiful day out or afternoon out in a way of learning about things. Finally, the Pièce de Résistance. This, I think, has to be one of my favourite books I've ever seen. And it's a beautiful thing for all the family. The adults, the kids, everyone will get something out of this. It's called Birdsong, 150 British and Irish Birds and Their Amazing Sounds. And if you flick through it, you'll see that there are stunning photos of various, so there's the black-tailed godwit, information about it. So older kids would be able to read the text. It's really nicely written, really well written, and learn about the various birds. The smaller children would be able to enjoy just looking at the photographs, seeing what they all look like. And the best thing of all is a sound bar on the right-hand side. So if you wanted to know, for example, what's it on now?
It's on the tawny owl. There you have on the page.
It's on the tawny owl. So if we go, if we scroll through to 090. Now, unfortunately, there's no quick way of pressing in the numbers. There isn't a numeric keypad, but I'm just scrolling through 97969594939291. 90. So this is the song of the tawny owl. And if we want to go one forward, we can see that this is the call of the tawny owl. Short one there.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet, but there are 150 different species.
Bird species, yeah.
Herring gulls, the lesser spotted woodpecker.
Let me hear the lesser spotted woodpecker.
So that is 101 for the drumming. So we'll switch it on again. Scoot, 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 scoot. 100, 101. So this is the drumming of the lesser spotted woodpecker. So for some of the birds, you have a couple of different sounds, the calls, the cries, the songs, the drumming and so on. It is one of the most beautifully put together books I have ever seen. I just love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it will be really, really good value that everybody would get something different out of it, whether it's reading the information and learning about the birds, just looking at the pictures.
And then listening to the songs. So details can be found?
Details can be found on our website. That one is just under £30 from Amazon, but I think it is definitely worth it. We'll have all the details on our website, www.rte.ie/Mooney.
Thank you very much indeed, Sinead. Now, recently an Irish bookstore launched a new service. A Dubray personal shopping voucher offers an hour of chatting about and choosing books with one of their knowledgeable staff. If you're looking for the perfect gift for book lovers, this could be just for you. Ain and Ilana went to check it out.
Thank you, Derek. I have a personal shopper here called Mary Burham from Dubray Books, and we are in a lovely cafe, Harry's, on the main street in Dunleary, with a great big table covered in books. Mary, it's great to meet you.
And great to meet you too, Aina. Talking about my favourite subject, of course, books.
Well, indeed. But of course, the first question is, I mean, why in 2018, Christmas 2018, should we be giving anybody books? Can't they look everything up on the internet?
They can, but it's not about looking up information. It's about the feel of it and the look of it and the joy of being presented. I mean, I still remember some of the books I was given as a child. And you don't forget that, and it makes an impression on you. And it's something that stays with you. No, books are here to stay. Definitely.
You can't beat
you the can't beat the real thing. No, definitely. And of course, with nature books, you can actually take them with you when you're going out for a walk.
Now, what books would you recommend for a doting grandparent like Richard Collins, or indeed like myself now, since I have two grandchildren, to buy for children that are so small that they can't read?
Right, we're going to start off with this lovely book, and it's called Animal Homes. It's an Osborne book. It's got 80 flaps. Kids love flaps,
don't they? Yes.
And so it starts off with, as night falls, and then all the creatures that come out at night, and then up high and down low. So the creatures that live high up in the trees and the ones that live on the ground. Under the sea, riverside homes, bug homes. They're going to love that.
These are not all new this year.
No, they're not. Some of them have been around for a while. But this one, it's Martin Shannon in our shop in Dunleary. This is his favourite book. It's my RSPB Nature Clipboard. And it's about getting outdoors with wildlife, activities and spotter guides. So it's you take the children out and you have a clipboard here and things to do and things to find. And you take the little slips out. Build, make and explore. It's a great book for children.
Now, what about bigger kids? Teenagers, in fact. You know,
teenagers. Yeah, well, we'll have this
one. They can be grown-up books. But what
So this is 2019 Nature, month by month. So you go through the months of the year and it'll give you what you to look out for, like bird spotting. You know, what kind of birds are there at a particular month. The night sky. Down at the seaside, the kind of birds that you see depending on the
weather. So it's the whole environment then.
Exactly,
it isn't just wildlife as such.
No,
the sky is included,
yeah,
the
exactly.
weather is included,
yeah,
yeah. All of this sort of thing and the customs that are involved, how to build a nest box.
Exactly.
But this is for children in their teenage years,
yeah,
then,
and then
who can be entrusted with a hammer and a saw and knives and binoculars and things like
and
this.
And they can go through each month and then there'll be something there for them for that particular month.
So these are all out in the bird books. But is there anything that you could just read at home and increase your knowledge without going anywhere? Just sit at home and learn something. If you particularly are interested in something.
I have an unusual one here,
yeah.
And it's a beautiful book. And it's called The Bee Book. And there's a lot of talk about bees at the moment, that if we don't save the bees,
we'll all be gone,
exactly. So I think
whose book is it? It's a Dorley Kindersley one, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's absolutely beautiful, just to look at.
So it's like, it's just all about bees. Not just bees in Ireland, but bees all over the world.
Well, they might just save the world if they read
this
book.
Yeah, and we're always being asked about how to save the world.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You could sit down and read all of this and, you know, be the greatest living expert.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you any present that you would give me?
I'm going to recommend a book called Field of Dreams by Bob Salisbury. And this is a couple, and they lived in England for a long time, and then they decided to come back to Antrim, where his wife came from, and buy a plot of land, and to build a house, and to consider nature when they were building. And when they came back, they found the plot of land, and they realised that there was no sound of birds, because the place had been over-farmed in the whole area, so they'd almost driven the wildlife out. And this story is how they built their home, they built their garden, and they brought the wildlife back. And it's a beautiful book. Lovely story. Field of Dreams.
I think you'll love it. You'll be fascinated by it. Mary, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
My pleasure, really enjoyed it.
And look, our coffee's gone cold. We'll have to go and order more.
We will indeed. Harry?
Thank you very much indeed, Aina.
My name is Ken Whelan. I live in Dublin. I'm a fisheries biologist and I've spent most of my career probably researching and managing is the best way to describe it, rivers and lochs around Ireland. And at times I've gone far, far, far further. In terms of gifts for Christmas, I spent some time at one stage actually whale watching off Iceland, looking at these enormous big humpback whales breaching right beside the boat. And would you believe that in Ireland, Cork Whale Watch actually offers you the opportunity to go out and do some whale watching with your family any time of the year. They're finding now in the autumn, these massive great whales actually go by the Irish coast. And if you're really lucky and if the weather is right, you've a great chance of actually seeing these massive creatures right up beside you. In terms of Christmas, once Christmas Day was over, the big focus then was to try and get outdoors and try and get into the margins of tiny little lakes up in County Cavan. We were searching for these fish called pike, and pike tend to live in the reeds and the rushes and in close to the shore. And even in cold weather, it is possible to actually catch them, but very difficult. But that wasn't really the important part of the day. The important part of the day were those lovely fresh turkey sandwiches and the absolutely fantastic cake that my mum used to make. And that really was the centrepiece of those days. The fish had a lot more sense than we had. We caught very little, but those memories are actually etched in my mind for all those years. Christmas is always associated with nice music. And I must say that I am a fan, I have to admit this, of Christa Berg. But the first time I heard A Spaceman Came Travelling, it did something for me. I'm not sure what. It epitomises the mystery of Christmas and it epitomises the unknown nature of Christmas in so many ways. I think it's a wonderful song and I absolutely love it. I wish you a very happy Christmas. And if, perchance, you're adventurous enough to go out to the seashore or to a riverbank or to a loch, enjoy it. But be very, very careful and do remember to wear that life jacket. Merry Christmas.
A spaceman came travelling on his ship from afar. 'Twas light years of time since his mission did start. And over a village he halted his craft, and it hung in the sky like a star. Just like a star. He followed a light and came down to a shed where a mother and child were lying there on a bed. A bright light of silver shone round his head, and he had the face of an angel. And they were afraid. The stranger spoke, he said, "Do not fear. I come from a planet a long way from here, and I bring a message for mankind to hear." And suddenly the sweetest music filled the
just like Father Christmas, did he not, Harry?
He did indeed.
Before we go, we're going to talk about the big ones, the bucket list gifts. If somebody had lots of money and they were going to give you a gift and they were going to send you anywhere in the world you wanted to go, where would it be, Richard Collins?
Well, preconditions. If the fusion reactor comes on stream, there's no sign of it at the moment, but if it did, then there wouldn't be a terrible footprint, ecological footprint, into doing what I am suggesting I would like to do. It's to go to South Georgia off Antarctica, because that is a remarkable place. It has, they say, the highest density of breeding birds in the world, 30 million breeding pairs, something like 7 million penguins, 250,000 albatrosses, 2 million fur seals, 250,000 of the world's population of elephant seals. I mean, this must be an extraordinary place. Now, that would be the first element in it, because it is also connected with a famous Irish achievement of May 1916. Not the violence in Dublin, but six men sailed from Elephant Island to South Georgia in an open boat in 13 days, and three of them were Irish. Shackleton, the leader, of course, the famous Ernest Shackleton, Tom Crean, and there was a third man from Kinsale. His name was Tim McCarthy. He's not so well known. He died when he was on a ship that was torpedoed during the First World War. But anyway, of the people on that boat, three were from Ireland, and it is considered one of the most extraordinary voyages ever conducted. Now, I would love to go to Elephant Island as well. So this is my kind of bucket list thing. It's called Elephant Island because they think there were so many elephant seals on its side. It's a kind of a mountain.
Why don't you go?
Well, I feel terribly guilty. You know, at my age, one looks back on one's misdeeds. And my greatest misdeed is the addiction to travel. It's a great vice that I've had. And my footprint must be awful. You know, I hate to think that I would have to make atonement for the huge footprint that I have imposed on the...
So you have a bucket list idea and you're never going to do it because you do, of the...
Well, I will do it if fusion reaction comes along. If hydrogen can be fused to deuterium...
So in the meantime, you're never going to leave Malahide unless on foot.
Well, we're all weak vessels subject to temptation, Derek, of course, you know, and all of us fall and with the firm purpose of amendment and all that. But
see, you're there dreaming about it when you could be off doing it.
Yeah, but
and it's the same for anybody out there who has a dream and they want to go and do something. They should just do it. You never know where you're going to be tomorrow.
Well, whatever about the morals of it, I think it would be the most extraordinary thing to do. It would be very, very expensive. This person who leaves me the legacy will have to be very much loaded.
So in South Georgia for you. Eric, what would your bucket list be?
Well, I have to. I like Richard's concept as well. Antarctica has always been a place I'd like to see, but... When I was probably in the 70s, there was a fantastic documentary series called Flight of the Condor. And they had incredible Andean sort of pipes was the theme music. And it's funny, I even have that music still saved on my phone. I often think that'll be my funeral music. I'd like it to be my funeral music. Anyway, Chile is a country I have always had a fascination for when I was a kid. You know, the length of Chile, it's in South America. It stretches almost from the top to the bottom. You have places like, you know, the Atacama Desert, you know, one of the driest places on earth. You have the Patagonian Steppes, Tierra del Fuego, you know, the Humboldt Current, all these places. And this is a country I would love to do, like, a long trip. You know, when you have these sort of fantasies, well, I have all the money I need, you know. I take on board your carbon footprint. We just leave that for a moment. Just let's go into fantasy world here. And you sort of look up what kind of trips that you would do. And there was one that really caught me. Now, euros-wise, it's about 10 grand. But that is excluding flights. So that you
excluding
have to get
flights. It's a lot of money, Eric.
It's a lot of money. Yeah. So I you know, if there's anybody listening who says, you know, Eric deserves this, we'll send him on this and we'll throw in a flight as well. But it brings you all the way down, all the way from the north of Chile, down through the Andes, through the Atacama, through all of these wonderful places. And then on top of that, you can then throw in 2 weeks around Tierra del Fuego. And then on top of that, you can do an extra thing. You can go out to some of these remote islands off Chile. And it just captures everything, I think, about places like South America. You know, and I've been lucky. I have been in the Andes and I have been in these places. I always remember great Tommy Cooper joke, you know, he was asked, where are the Andes? And he said, they're at the bottom of Eurystheus. But I have to admit that the Flight of the Condor, that TV documentary and that music, it sort of conjured up something when I was very young to want to see Chile.
And one thing, if you were there, that you'd want to see, is there any particular bird?
Well, I love hummingbirds. There's no question. I love the hummingbirds. Do you know, there's not one particular thing.
It's everything.
Everything.
It's the whole experience.
It's the whole experience.
You want to immerse yourself.
It is.
Do you know what you'll do now?
What'll I do
call
now?
Call the credit union.
Yeah.
So you're going to the Andes. Richard is going to South Georgia. I'm off to Bray. See, my nieces and nephews, love them all. So listen, that's pretty much all we have time for. Details of all the gifts we've recommended today can be found on our website, which is rte.ie/Mooney. That brings us to the end of this seasonal special. Thanks to Richard Collins and Eric Dempsey for being with us today. Our sound operator is David Gibson, broadcast coordinator Sinead Renshaw. Researchers John Riley and the producer is Anna Letty. All that remains for us to do now is to wish you a very healthy and happy Christmas. We'll be back in the new year, and I hope you'll join us then. Until then, goodbye.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Sure, it's Christmas.